sovereign." The world shuddered as Renox, my dragon father, appeared to Carmadon's call. "I am ready to serve your lordship." Renox had taken the side of the patriarch. I was tired of being surprised by all these twists and turns, so when Garenika summoned the siren Nashlazar and Kronos the Titan, I hardly even reacted. I was drained.
"New pieces!" Carmadont applauded. "It's too bad. There's so few of you. The game would have been so much more interesting otherwise. Have you made up your minds yet, Freemies? You have but 1 minute. They will choose the right side, traitor."
The hermit stepped out from Garenika's back.
"Oh, no! Who will save me?" Carmadont went on chortling. "Marleona herself has dropped in for tea for two. But, without your husband, you're nothing, a useless hag. You have neither power, nor energy, nor... Scram, you wench! The adults are busy. What do you say, Keymaster? Look what you'll get!"
"Well, I'll be damned,"
Plinto whispered, reading a system notification only he could see.
"You too shall be blessed, Siren. Look what you'll get."
Anastaria frowned, reading the text.
"Dragon,"
Carmadont addressed me.
"You are really cracking me up lately. As a result, I will be happy to accept you to my banner. Look what you'll get."
"You have the option of joining Char. In the event that you accept, you shall receive the following bonuses. +200 to crafting, +200 to dragon rank, +200 to level, title of Vice-Garant of Char, +200 to blessed, cursed artificer. Do you wish to join Char?"
"Aren't you a craftsman?"
Carmadont continued to seduce me.
"I shall teach you everything I know. I shall teach you to create items like the Imperial Throne. It was thanks to the throne that I managed to enslave the Emperor and the Dark Lord, since the seat of power requires sacrifices. Sweet, delicious sacrifices, don't you think?"
Carmadont giggled.
"There are hiccups, sure. And every once in a while, someone escapes the throne's fetters. But this has happened only twice, and those are the two standing right there. But look at them. They're practically decomposing from their advanced age. The throne drained their strengths long ago."
"Make your decision, my son."
Renox decided to back up Carmadont.
"This world is rotten. It must be destroyed to pave the way for a new one built from its ruins. I shall teach you everything I know. You will become the first among my dragons."
"Basically, we can become the top players in Barleona," drawled Plinto, without addressing anyone in particular.
"It's not like we can prevent the expansion from launching at this point. All that's left to decide is which side we'll be playing on,"
Anastaria agreed. Both of my friends looked at me, like I was the one who had to choose.
"The time has come. What did you decide?"
"Stacy, didn't you solve all of the chess set's riddles?"
Yes. "Are you sure that this is a good time to be thinking about that?"
"Send me all the solutions, will you please?"
"Here you go, but why?
"What is your choice, Mayan?"
Commandant cried again.
"If you do not make a decision, I will consider you an enemy, and..."
I produced the chess pieces from my bag. It's curious. They had been created by Commandant, who infused the essences from the greatest sentience of his era into them. But was that the truth? Had the essences merely been infused? What if these weren't simply replicas? Something tells me that I'd better check. The orcs came first. Finding the chess piece, I entered 13.8175802 into the text box. The die had been cast.
"I don't like to play like this," said Commandant, when
8 2-meter-tall orcs came trudging out of the whirlwind that had appeared. Gritchen, Grover, Vankor, 8 great orc warriors stood before us, their scimitars bared.
"Defend us, O brothers," I asked the orcs,
and reached for the dwarves. If I remember correctly, I'd need to enter.
"Stop him! Kill him! Kill them all!"
Commandant began to scream hysterically, and the space around us went dark. The battle began, but I paid it no attention. I had much better things to deal with than watch a fight between some NPCs. I noted the bubble around me, indicating that Stacy was somewhere nearby. But it was useless here. The orcs were protecting me. The dwarves. The masters. 8 stumpy subjects of the kingdom under the mountain had appeared to my summons.
"The throne!"
I pointed at the hunk of white stone beside us.
"It must be destroyed. Only you can accomplish this."
"Onwards, brothers!"
shouted Borg Goldhand, shifting his hammer from one hand into the other.
"We shall reinforce you," growled 2 of the smaller orcs.
"And we shall cover you,"
boomed the 2 giants.
"We shall escort you,"
hissed the lizards.
"We shall bear you,"
whinnied the war horses.
"We shall suppress the foe for you,"
announced the elves.
"We shall ambush their flankers,"
muttered the trolls.
"I shall summon spirits to aid you,"
said the orc shaman.
"I shall cast wards to protect you,"
proclaimed the archmage.
"I shall lead you,"
growled the leader of the White Wolf clans.
"I live,"
cried Late.
"Your staff!"
I handed Late the staff that had been charged by the phantoms, and only now did I get the chance to look around. Blast it all to hell? I wish I hadn't. The army of tarantulas had summoned a host of terrifying creatures to its banners and was now pushing back Nashlazar and Kronos. Garenika was playing tag with the Patriarch, blinking all over the field of battle without it being clear who was it. The Emperor and the Dark Lord fell upon the old men who, as I had already guessed, were the former Emperor and Dark Lord. The young bloods were fighting the old bloods. Experience or strength? The answer was evident. Renox poured fire and flames onto Plinto and Anastaria, who were aided by the Hermit and the King and Queen from the chess set. The dragon was toying with his enemies, still at Acceleration 1. Hardly had he engaged Acceleration 2 when Anastaria and the Archmage collapsed to their knees and blood sprayed from the mouths. The dragon was too strong for them. Iluna and Tartarus had vanished, but I was sure that they were nearby, watching the battle. Surrounded and protected by the other chess pieces, the dwarves were hammering at the alabaster throne with their sledges. Cracks had appeared in it. Carmadont had cast aside the Urgrice and set on late. And I stood apart, alone, without an opponent. Everyone was fighting without holding anything back. But I stood frozen, with no idea of whom to help. In my view, we were losing all over the place, and everyone could use my help.
Ding!
With a deafening ring, the alabaster throne shattered into little pieces, and two sentients appeared in its place. The sons of the Creator.
Freedom! At last!
Cried Harishes joyfully, and the world winked into darkness. The progenitor, the god of the tarantulas, had entered Barleona.
Barleona shall fall!
Came his telepathic roar.
To battle, gods of Barleona! Defend your home!
Iluna and Tartarus finally entered the battle, accompanied by a myriad of lesser gods. Now the battle was taking place across all levels of being, physical, mental, and spiritual. The world began to shudder around us.
Dan, if you have a plan B, now's the time.
Anastaria's hoarse voice sounded in my mind.
We won't hold much longer.
Thank you for giving me another chance to fight for this world, Mayan. You are a true and worthy shaman.
A ghost orc suddenly appeared before me. I believe it was Gritchen. But before I could say anything, he dissolved like a patch of fog scattered by a gust of wind. Over by where the throne had been, one of the chess pieces collapsed to dust. We were one fighter less.
Thank you for giving me another chance to fight for this world, shaman. You are a true and worthy shaman. Thank you for...
The chess pieces turned to dust, one after the other, forcing me to clench my fists. The hell do I care if you think I'm a true shaman when we're losing, and... A cold sweat covered me from head to toe. The strongest of spirits had declared me worthy. Renox was the High Lord, and I was his son. Plinto wasn't the Keymaster. I was the Keymaster. All I had to do was tear out my heart and...
The Urgrice!
Stacy, I need a bubble!
I yelled, rushing in the direction where Commandant and Late were locked in a death embrace. Shadows swirled around me, lightning, fire, ice, but I was certain that nothing could stop me, for I had protection from all types of damage.
Stacy's gone, kid!
Plinto creaked hoarsely.
It ain't a bubble, but it'll protect you. Do what you must.
The same mysterious disruption field that had saved me in the arena appeared around me. Plinto gasped and collapsed to the ground with zero HP. Renox accelerated once again and began to smash through the hermit's defenses. Another set of notifications from chess pieces, declaring me a true and worthy shaman, flashed past my eyes. And then I reached Commandant.
It is too bad you came to our world.
Commandant was standing with his back to me, reveling in Late's agony. The Death Knight was being immolated from within. Yet the gift... The curse of the Creator still refused to let him die.
You shall beg me for...
I snatched the Urgrice from the evil hunter and almost suffocated. Even with my sensory filter set to full, the pain pierced me through and through. My breathing became ragged. Circles of light swam in my vision. My consciousness screamed for release, but the hermit's hoarse voice pulled me back.
"I shall take your pain, shaman. You must think. You must feel. You must understand what you are to do."
Scenario updated. Burden of the Creator. Swiping away the system notification and understanding perfectly well that now was not the time, I yelled to Late,
"Delay him! 5 seconds!"
"Do it, shaman!"
Charred, Late rose to his feet and locked Commandant in his embrace.
5 seconds!
The Eye of the Dark Widow. The item that I had received back in my first months as a shaman. The item that I had argued so much with Stacy over. The same one that drew the attention of the shadowy factions of Barleona and caused me so many headaches because I didn't want to sell it. The item that I had wanted to use on Char to reach the center of power. How nice it was that I hadn't done this earlier. For now, I needed a passage to that red world as much as I needed a breath of air. The world where the Creator's soul was held.
"No!"
I managed to hear the squeal of the tarantula as I dove into the portal. I whipped out the Altarian Falcon, opened the blink input box, and entered the cave's coordinates. How nice it is to know your work so well that you do it reflexively. Let the mages think about their deeds and misdeeds. I am a shaman. I only had to feel.
"Submit!"
I had no idea how to use the scepter, so I simply pointed it at the nearest tarantula.
"Remove the barrier!"
"Remove the barrier!"
The tarantula echoed obediently, and the beam emanating from his head blinked and vanished.
"Submit! Remove the barrier!"
I immediately trained the scepter at the next tarantula.
"Submit! Remove the barrier!"
As soon as the last beam vanished, the cage plummeted straight into the red portal beneath it. Wait a second. I have the crystal. Without thinking much longer, I dived after the cage, and stars began dancing before my eyes. Someone had stunned me for 2 seconds.
"That belongs to me, worm!"
Commandant growled with hatred.
"I will open the gateway, not you. I will open it myself. I am the Keymaster. Always have been."
The battle had all but ended. Renox was pouring fire onto Nash Lazar and Kronos. The hermit was dead. Iluna was crawling away from the fire tornado like a broken doll, dragging a dead Tartarus behind her. The old rulers of the empires were still holding on, but it was clear that they were being toyed with. The Emperor and Dark Lord could finish off the old men whenever they wished. Late had been cut up to pieces, and even the gift of the Creator could not sustain him any longer. As for Guernica, I could see neither him nor the Patriarch, but the general trend suggested that he wasn't doing so hot either. Plinto and Anastaria had been sent to respawn without leaving their bodies. They were watching to see what would happen. Commandant raised Late's stinger above me, wishing to send me to respawn, when suddenly everything went still. A snow-white portal opened in the air, and 2 lifeless bodies came falling out of it to the ground. The immortal sons of the Creator had been slain. The progenitor peeked his head out behind them, and Barleona shuddered.
"This world shall be mine! Tremble, Barleona! Your new ruler has arrived! What? No!"
The portal began to collapse like something incredibly powerful and unimaginable was sucking it from the other side. The tarantula twisted and contorted into himself and was pulled back in. There was a pop, and a grim notification appeared to everyone.
"Mourn, Barleona. The creator of this world has left his creation forevermore."
The shockwave from the collapsed portal swept across the field of battle, scattering the combatants like some bowling pins. Carmandont flew off somewhere to the side, granting me several moments of life. Trying to use these to the utmost, I crawled over to Iluna. I hadn't even the strength to stand. Even though I was still in a game, I felt completely shattered.
"We've lost, Mayan."
Iluna noticed me, and sadness tinged her incredibly beautiful face.
"I have no more strength. The Creator has died. His children have died. Our power has been exhausted."
Iluna collapsed helplessly beside Tartarus. It's strange, but even on the verge of death, the goddess had done everything she could to drag the god of Cartus away from the battle. The dark god breathed, hoarsely, but he breathed.
"How can I help two powerless gods? I have no such power. Unless, that is, Iluna, do you take Tartarus as your lawfully wedded husband?"
"What?"
Iluna found the strength not only to exclaim, but even to sit up.
"Do you promise to love and cherish him until the end of time? Till death do you part?" "Man, what is wrong with you?"
"Answer me!"
I don't even know where I found the strength to scream so loudly. The devs couldn't simply let this couple end up like this. Having killed off all the leading NPCs of this world, they had to come up with something.
"Yes, I do."
Iluna's shock was so great that she simply agreed to my demand.
"Tartarus! Do you take Iluna as your lawfully wedded wife? Do you promise to love and cherish her until the end of time? Till death do you part?"
"Yes, I do."
It was difficult to tell what the god was saying through his wheezing, yet I made it out. "By the powers vested in me by, myself, I declare you husband and wife. From now on, you are the supreme deities of Barleona. From now on, you are the creators." I placed the Urgrice into Iluna's hand and placed Tartarus's hand on top of it. That was it. Where's my respawn?
"When are you going to die, finally?" Carmandont cried, appearing beside me.
He raised his staff and brought it down directly onto my chest. Sparks erupted from the place where the blow landed, and the world went dark. The Greylands welcomed me in their gray embrace. Here it is. Respawn.
"Iluna wishes to revive you. Do you accept?"
By my estimate, an eternity had gone by, but it had only been about 40 seconds. That was how long it took for the system to process that our continent had a new god. Two, in fact. Stacy was already there, as was Plinto. The lifeless bodies of the Hermit, Guernica, the Emperor, the Dark Lord, Renox, and Kronos lay on the ground with pieces of Late among them. Nashalazar and the two old men were covering the bodies with shrouds, demonstrating that even gods weren't all powerful.
"It's over, Shaman,"
said Critchett, wearily taking a seat on the ground.
"We failed to stop the breach, but we have defanged the serpent, and we shall have the chance to expel it once and for all from Barleona."
"Critchett, will you tell me what the hell happened?" I basically began to shake the ancient orc, demanding the truth. Why was good on the side of evil and vice versa?
"Good, evil. These concepts are much too relative to rely on them. Consider this hypothetical. A lumberjack decides to fell a tree in order to heat his home and keep his family warm, when suddenly he is attacked by an angry orc. Where is evil here? Where is good?"
"But it's clear. The orc is evil and the man is good."
"That's from the perspective of the human. Look at it through the eyes of the orc. The soul of his family is implanted in that tree, and in several years a cute baby orc will be born from its wood. Suddenly this man appears and seeks to cut down the orc's child. What is evil here? What is good?"
I was at a loss.
"It's the same story here. That which took place cannot be called good or evil. It simply took place."
"Will you tell us how you managed to survive?" Anastaria sat down next to me.
"Honor your wife, Shaman. She is quite the rare one."
Critchett grinned before beginning his tale. "Once upon a time, there was a hunter named Carmandond, who wanted nothing but power. He sought it in various ways, and came upon a servant of the progenitor, the god of the tarantulas. The children of this god had already populated Barleona, preparing the arrival of their god. A loyal servant of the tarantulas, the father of the vampire patriarch, persuaded Harishes to conduct an experiment, to create a powerful weapon against the progenitor, the Alabaster Throne. The brothers agreed, not suspecting the trap, and, as a result, found themselves imprisoned in the Alabaster Throne. The father of the patriarch was killed by the Creator for his betrayal, but the Creator lacked the strength to fight the progenitor. He decided to leave the throne alone. And at this point, something happened that no one expected. Late appeared in our world, and with him, the heart of the fallen god. As soon as the Urgreis appeared, it destroyed, or drove mad, all the tarantulas. The power locked in the heart of the fallen god was so unbearable to the tarantulas that they shriveled up as soon as they encountered it. The Creator sighed with relief and went off to gather his strength in order to free his children, leaving Late to guard his throne. But then Carmandond found the opportunity to lock the Creator inside the tomb. Through his crafting, He created a key, investing it with the essences of the greatest individuals of all the races. Barleona was left without a god. Here, the tarantula appeared and became the vicegerent, the temporary god of Barleona. Carmandont made a mistake while creating the prison for the creator and found himself trapped in the tomb, along with the Urgrice, the item that continued to stave off the tarantulas. The Urgrice did not have an effect on the demons, so it was decided to have them lead the invasion. As the rulers of their realms, the Emperor and the Dark Lord were aware of the coming invasion, but couldn't do anything about it. They had become slaves of their respective thrones, which the ingenious Commandant had created. Through these thrones, Commandant controlled the Emperors, forcing them to do his bidding. The Emperor and the Dark Lord began to fight Commandant's influence, issuing orders to stop me, but in the end fought for the tarantulas. So began preparations for the second invasion. First, the Patriarch created the replica of the Alabaster Throne. Then, in order to allow the Tarantula's main force to enter Barleona, the shadows were harnessed. The Urgrice blocked the effects of the original throne, but it did not have enough power to curb the power of the replica. Darius and Critchett, the former Emperor and Dark Lord, decided to fight until the bitter end. A sentient was found who was holy enough to resist the power of the throne. This was an ordinary shaman named Garanika. A sham assassination was arranged, a spectacle, after which Renox proclaimed the new rulers of Cartus and Malabar outside of Beatwick. Darius and Critchett began to seek a means of blocking the power of the Alabaster Throne and a way to free the Creator, while Garanika did everything he could to mitigate the damage to Barleona. Garanika aimed his entire blow against the free citizens, who could return from the Grey Lands anyway, and it seemed like everything would work out. Until Mayan and his friends showed up.
"It looks like I'll have to ascend to the throne of Cartus yet again,"
the orc concluded his tale.
"It's time to return your powers to you. It's not your fault that Commandant turned out to be stronger."
"Attention, all players. Have you had enough of stamping on one patch of ground you call a continent? An ancient enemy has breached Barleona, seeking to enslave it. Let us stop this threat together. Everyone, to the defense of Barleona. Speak to the heads of your class to sign up. A new continent and new adventures await you. Welcome to a brand new Barleona."
"He became the Keymaster after all,"
Darius shook his head.
"The entrance is open. Mayan, permit me to take the scepter. It doesn't do to have such items lying around Barleona."
No sooner had I handed the scepter to the old man than a strange notification appeared before me. "You shall be disconnected from the game in 30 seconds. "Excuse me?" "Despite our losses and our grief, we have managed to vanquish the progenitor." Iluna appeared beside us. "That alone is honor enough for our heroes. I know what Commandant offered you, but you refused his offer and..." "Stacy, I'm about to be disconnected. Something is broken. Accept the reward for me, please. I'll try to re-enter as soon as I can." "Okay. Is it serious?"
"I don't think so.
Some kind of glitch, maybe. The system seems to... The cocoon lid slid aside, returning me to reality. I'll need to check the uplink, and... My head exploded in a million pieces, sending me to unconsciousness. Chapter 15. The Greater Evil.
"You haven't overdone it, have you?"
a familiar voice said through the darkness.
"Not at all. He's alive,"
another voice replied in a chipper tone, and I was struck by the disgusting and sharp smell of smelling salts. My brain cleared in a moment, snapping me back to reality. I looked around. I had been here before. I had been rudely transported to the office of Victor Zavala, otherwise known as Ecular. The owner of the office sat in front of me in his favorite chair, and he did not seem pleased to see me.
"Victor!"
I tried to reach my hand out to shake his, and suddenly realized that I couldn't do anything. My hands were tied behind my back. "What is going on?"
"Try asking yourself the same question,"
Victor cut me off tersely.
"What have you done?"
"I don't understand."
"What the hell did you launch the expansion for?"
Ecular exploded. It was about the first time I'd seen this person raise his voice. It took a lot to push him to this point, and I had done it, even though I had no idea how.
"Maybe you'll explain what the hell you're doing."
I knew how to blow my lid, too. Being tied to the chair didn't mean that my mouth had to stay shut. That was their oversight.
"Mayan, you had a simple job to do. Follow my orders calmly and quietly, instead of sticking your nose where you were explicitly ordered not to stick it,"
Victor said in a cold voice full of anger.
"You were not the one who was supposed to launch the expansion."
"Your daughter launched it."
"Why, I couldn't give a damn which one of you it was. You and she are two sides of the same coin."
"Okay. Maybe you'll explain what's happening now?" I yelled again.
"The hell did you tie me to this stupid chair for?"
"Because it's time to answer for everything you've caused, you idiot."
Even a viper would envy the amount of venom in Victor's voice.
"All we did was launch the expansion," I growled back angrily. "Who else was supposed to do it? Phoenix? Or maybe not the Celestial?"
Ecular twitched as if he'd been shocked, and at the same moment all the puzzle pieces fell into place in my mind.
"I'll be damned. This simply couldn't be. It wasn't possible."
"So you're behind all of it?" I said, shocked. If I'm right, and I give myself a 90% chance of being right, Victor is a terrifying person. Unprincipled, unconscionable, and completely ruthless. I mean, is he even a human after all this?
"I am behind all of it,"
Victor said calmly.
"From the moment you entered our life to your imminent departure from it, you are no one. You are nothing. I created you, and I will destroy you."
Victor seemed so convincing in his wrath that the emerging picture grew sharper by the moment. I couldn't contain a smirk. Ecular struck me as some spider spinning his web. Carefully,
confidently year after year. Yet when a fly got trapped in it and, struggling to free itself, disrupted its delicate ornament, the spider had lost his temper.
"You think this is funny? Do tell. What's making your soon-to-be-dead corpse grin so?"
"We'll all be corpses sooner or later," I remarked philosophically. "I'm simply amused by the scale of your plot. Let me guess. Everything started when you realized that Anastaria can't have children with ordinary people."
"What would you know about that?"
Victor interrupted in a rage, but since he didn't go on, it was clear that I could continue. "Maybe not a thing. The doctors suggested in vitro fertilization, but Stacy was opposed. She wanted a family, love, and other things that women want. This is when you came up with your plot, correct?"
"Yes,"
Victor hissed.
"I will do everything I can for my family. Stacy wanted to be happy, and she will be.
But at what price? You've killed so many people."
"I couldn't give a damn about them. Family is all anyone needs. You had a chance to become part of the family, but you blew it."
I smirked again. "A chance? I never had a chance. You never gave me one. Correct me if I get something wrong." The daughter of one of the wealthiest and most powerful men of the continent was ill. Hundreds of tests in all the labs of the world only reinforced one and the same sad fact. It would take a miracle for Anastaria to get pregnant. That, or in vitro fertilization, which the girl refused to do. The father refused to give up. In violation of all privacy laws, he had his men examine the medical records of all males who had ever entered Barleona. And a miracle happened. Several hundred men were discovered who could indeed make his daughter happy. Anastaria could have children with them. Victor rushed to his daughter with the good news, but right then she fell into a depression due to her breakup with Hellfire. The boy had wanted more, while Anastaria could not give it to him. Eckler was faced with a dilemma. Either he could make his daughter happy here and now, or give her the chance to earn her own happiness and live a fairy tale. The loving father won out. He decided to grant her the fairy tale. He had psychologists select 10 candidates who were best fit to be husbands. Victor then revised their selections, carefully checking all 10 and eliminating all but one. I was the last one remaining. Then a global plot was set in motion with the single goal of making Eckler's daughter happy. I was forced into the game and equipped with everything I needed to get out of the mines. Roxanne, a trusted accomplice of Eckler, with whom he'd already worked for several years, arranged everything perfectly. And an in-game competitor, Do Not Panic, was brought in as a patsy. The idea of making a ton of profit from this scheme caught Eckler's attention, so much so that at times the main goal was put on the back burner. All the game's actors played their roles perfectly. Do Not Panic ended up in prison. Anastaria fell in love with me. I fell in love with her. And Victor made an immense amount of money from the corporation. Happiness, for all, seemed right around the corner, if it wasn't for one but.
Roxanne. I went to her house, I went on. I met her husband. He's crazy about the East. Alexander Vecchi loves his dragons. The question occurs, where did he get this obsession from? Where had he seen it all? The answer is simple. He, as well as Roxanne, lived in the East for a long time. Roxanne turned out to be a woman with a secret. She worked for Bayan. The old fox did not want his partner to die, but he could not refuse being the first in everything, including the launching of a new expansion. He was simply incapable of it. Victor received an ultimatum. Either he reins in his daughter and her uppity husband, or all the info that Roxanne had carefully amassed about Ekiler would find its way to the police. Nothing personal, you see. It was only business. Victor agreed to allow Bayan onto the continent. The two made a deal, and Victor lobbied the corporation to put up the original status as a reward for the tournament winner. Then he told us off and stepped back into the shadows. When it came to the conflict of interests between the two in-game clans, Phoenix was the weaker one. So Victor had to back off and accept Bayan's will. There were some details, however. Among them, Mayan and Anastaria. Ignoring all orders, requests, and threats, they managed to launch the scenario. Bayan was enraged. It turned out that the gods of the continent, where the final battle of the scenario would take place, would become the gods of all of Barleona, and the head of the Celestial Empire really wanted to launch the expansion on his territory. It didn't happen. Victor received another ultimatum. Either I would be punished, or the information about Ekiler's plot would be handed to the corporation. People were sent after me, in an attempt to interrupt the final battle. But they only reached our place after everything was decided. The only way to pull me out of the game was through the disconnect button, since the cables were all tucked away in the wall now, and these extra 30 seconds had been enough for me to receive the scenario's rewards. I was knocked unconscious, tied up, and brought to Victor. And here I am, I concluded my monologue, sitting across from the man who raised me from my lowly state, awaiting his decision. It's too bad, Victor said after a minute of dead silence. It's too bad, Daniel, that you did not heed my advice. I cannot permit you the luxury of prison. You have given me no other choice. Security! An enormous guard, the size of a wardrobe, emerged from the shadows. Daniel is very tired. He wishes to rest. Ensure he does so. Quickly and painlessly. Kill him. I looked on as the guard reached for his handgun and leveled it at me. This is it. The shaman fairy tale has come to an end. When, suddenly... Victor Zavala, you are under arrest for suspicion of organizing a criminal enterprise and the attempted murder of Daniel Mayan. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Epilogue. And what are we supposed to do now? Alex sat down next to me and watched the EMTs cover Victor's body and load it into the ambulance. The spider's heart had given out. Nothing, I answered calmly. Nothing at all.
I spent 3 years getting one of my men into Victor's organization. 3 years on this operation, which you almost ruined 2 months ago, and which you completely ruined just now. Alex, what's the point of this? Evil has been punished. There he is, dead as a doornail. What else do you want? Justice. What justice? He's dead. Do you understand? Dead. Isn't that some degree of justice?
What are you getting at?
Alex frowned. That if we unwind this whole thing to its logical end and bring it to light, Anastaria will discover the truth. I'm getting at the fact that I'm merely a carefully selected partner for her. You don't need to see the future to know how she'll react to this news. She'll follow in her father's footsteps. Everything she believed turned out to be a lie. I'm sure your brainiacs have already considered all the outcomes. Are you going to lock her in a nut house with her hands tied so she can't hurt herself? Is that the justice you're looking for?
No.
A silence followed. I had nothing to suggest to Alex. Everything depended on him now, but he remained stubbornly silent.
"And you're ready to come to terms with the role you've been given?"
Alex asked suddenly. "I love her, more than my own life. I'm ready to forget what I know, to process it and go on living, if it'll make her happy. The phoenix must arise from the ashes, whatever happens to her. That's my decision."
"It's yours, all right. No one can argue with you."
"Okay, I will help you." From the Barleona News Network, Victor Zavala, one of the best players of Barleona, died suddenly yesterday. He was 56. Mr. Zavala founded and led an enormous Barleona clan known as Phoenix. The Barleona Corporation wishes to express its sincere condolences to his family, to which Mr. Zavala was a true support and a caring father. Mr. Zavala's eternal memory shall forever be cherished by the Barleona community.
Somewhere in the vast reaches of the Celestial Empire,
"Master, the Urgrice has been destroyed."
Azari bowed deeply before Bayan.
"I have confirmed that Mayan has transferred the power of this crystal to his gods."
"Our gods, Azari. Now they are our gods. But it is no matter. The main objective remains the same. Ultimida will be ours."
This concludes Clans War by Vasily Mahanyenko. Narrated by Jonathan Yen, a member of SAG-AFTRA. Copyright 2018 by V. Mahanyenko. English translation copyright 2018 by Boris Smirnov. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Magic Dome Books and was produced in the year 2018 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright there too. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.